Thank you, Brother Lewis. That's good advice. I'll tell you what, we all need to remember where we came from and where we'd be without the Lord. Amen. All right. I want you to open your Bibles to a very familiar portion. I want you to go to 2 Timothy with me this morning. And we'll go to a text that we preachers can hardly stay away from because it's being fulfilled daily in the news all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read down through about verse 7, and I'm going to use verse 7 basically for our text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I give them a title up there in the tape room. I'm going to call it Missing Knowledge. Might be better to say missing information. That's been in the news, you know. While our government was storing information on us, other governments has been storing information on them. You hear that in the news this week? Kind of interesting, isn't it? What a mess. Stolen or missing information, knowledge. Most of us did some of that, possibly. I'm not going to accuse you, but I'm not going to confess either. Sitting across from the smartest kid in the class when we were in grammar school, it was always a help if you could get a good view. I think about the teacher that said to the mama, she said, "Your little Johnny is cheating in class." She said, "Oh no, he'd never do that." "How you know?" "Well, he always wants to sit across from Susie. And the other day, Susie wrote to question number 2, 'I don't know.' And Johnny wrote, 'Me neither.'" So, you know, we know a little bit about stealing knowledge, don't we? Maybe not on the scale we're talking about today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Any Bible student ought to agree that's where we're at. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Boy, if that's not in the news and in the Supreme Court and everywhere. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Boy, there we are. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women." I think about the woman in the prison break here recently. Captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. And here's my text: ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never arriving at the right place. Ever learning, but never getting to the truth. Now, you know, we've come to that time, folks. I mean, these verses so fulfilled. We're even to the place now in America that we can't not only not identify what's wrong, we can't punish what's wrong. I mean, the mess that's going on with the attack on the police in our country is something else, isn't it? And I mean, with all the bad that's out there, and yet we don't anybody to deal with it, don't anybody to enforce it and make excuse for everybody that gets caught doing everything and just let them alone and let it go. And that's what we're seeing out there today. And free speech is under attack. You can't even say it's wrong. Did you see where Hillary Clinton said that we were going to have to reevaluate our traditional beliefs? She's talking about we can't any longer condemn homosexuality as a sin. And they've actually got the homosexual agenda coming out saying and trying to get a movement going that the churches can no longer call homosexuality a sin. In other words, deny your Bible and what's obvious and what nature even tells you. You don't need the Bible to tell you that. Nature tells you that. But all of a sudden, we can't identify what's wrong, and free speech is under attack like I've never seen it before. Isaiah said the time would come, they'd call evil good and good evil. If you ever read Orwell's 1984, he wrote it in 1948, and what you got is a reverse. You reverse 48 and get 84 out of it. And he wrote about a time that would come in the world under the one world government where everything would be under camera, and it would be, everything had to be spoken only politically correct. Does that sound familiar? Isn't it amazing today, wherever you look, it's a camera one place or another. And not only that, you got to be very, very careful of what you say. I understand Clint Eastwood got in trouble this week. Did anybody hear about that? Now, he may not be your favorite movie star, but he said a few things right. But somebody brought up the Bruce Jenner thing, you know, the fellow that thought he was a woman on the inside all these years. Bunch of junk. But anyway, Clint Eastwood said, Bruce somebody. That's pretty good. Bruce somebody. We don't know whether he's a woman today, a man tomorrow, or what. Now, he's a pervert both days, amen. That's what he is. But you know, we've come to the portion I read you in the scripture is just as up to date as your newspaper and what you're hearing on the news, and it's current and it's everywhere, and it's prefaced by the fact it's the last days. It's perilous times. It's exactly what the Bible has said. And then it comes in with this thing about ever learning and never able to come to the truth. In other words, we've never had a time in America and probably in the world when education has been set on a higher throne and where taxpayers are being made to pay for it and where it's just become something that's become a god itself, and yet it never leads to the truth. In fact, leads away from it, leads away from it. Ever learning and never able to come to the truth. I saw it, and I think, you know, some long time back, they were talking about, I guess it's in Switzerland, where they got the particle collider. And you know, it's about 18 miles of tubing that runs for billions of dollars worth. And they're sending two particles, you know, to meet each other and crash. Anybody read about that stuff? And what they're trying to do is play God. They're trying to find out how that God did it, so to speak, when he brought the world into existence. And they're trying, and they're saying we might even create a black hole, and we'd all be, well, I don't care if they are sucked in it. I got a hole in the sky I'm looking for, brother. But anyway, two particles hitting at each other. It's enough to give you a heart attack, I reckon. Little boy. One of the psychiatrists was evaluating him, and he asked him questions, said, if you were up on a high mountain hill and you saw a train coming this way and a train coming that way and you knew they were going to crash, what would you do? Little boy said, I'd run get little brother. He'd say, why? Said, because that's going to be a great train wreck to watch. Now, the truth of the matter is, that's about all you could do about it. But I don't know what the particles are going to do when they crash in there. And why in the world do we need billions and billions of dollars to try? They're doing their best to play God, and yet at the same time, they don't want God, and they don't want His wisdom, and they don't want His truth. They want to do it their way, amen? I think, though, and I'm glad I can say this morning, I'm glad we can know the truth. Ever learning and never come to the truth, but you, if you're saved, if you know Jesus, you know the truth. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, and praise God. You know, it's okay to get education until it starts trying to replace God, and then it's wrong. I read an article some long time ago. It was talking about the scientists, you know, finally beginning to evaluate some of their own stuff and finally realizing through DNA and a lot of this other stuff that finally they realized that evolution couldn't be true. There must be a creator. There must be divine intelligence up there. And it says that these so-called scientists or intellectuals finally rise up and climb to the point of the mountain that there must be a God. And when they get to the top of the mountain, they meet Bible believers up there and said, we've been waiting on you a long time. We done it without going through your process. We done it through the Word of God. We done it through knowing the Lord in a personal way, amen? I'm glad I can know this morning there is a God. You say, preacher, that's not profound. Pretty profound in our day now. I know there is a God. I know it's under attack today. Some of you recognize the name Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is causing a lot of folks to go to hell and a lot of young people going out of good churches and going to colleges. And I just condemn this over and over and on. They are going to ever learn and not come to the truth. And in many cases, it's going to wash down and diminish the truth they already had. You need to be wise about that. I'd rather my son or my daughter never have a college education than to be educated away from God. And young people, you better have your gun loaded when you go, because they got one purpose when you sit down in that classroom, and that's to attack Christianity. And they're doing that right here locally and everywhere else. But you know, Richard Dawkins, on a campaign to attack God, going around debating, going around literally preaching against there's no God. And he come out here recently, not long ago. He said he wanted to have a de-baptizing service. In other words, he speaks to an audience and then he tries to get them to raise their hand that they agree with him that there is no God. I don't think he knows the psalmist called him a fool twice. Says the fool says in his heart there is no God. De-baptizing service. I'm not exactly sure how you do that. Maybe if I put Hawkins in the baptistry when it was full and pull the plug, would that de-baptize him? I'm just trying to figure how you do that. Amen. Put him in there and put him under and forget to bring him back up. Amen. That'd be better. A jerk like that. His heart has to have permission from God to beat the next time. To suck in another breath of air, of oxygen to live on. And deny there's a God. That's the kind of stuff, though. You know, the Bible tells us we can know. I mean, surely we know. We know in our hearts, of course. But you know from his handiwork. If you were to go with me to Psalms 19. And let's read about a few verses. It's easy to find the Psalms now. Find it, look in chapter 19. Let's read about 4, 5, 6 verses right here. And listen to this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Listen, God is saying here, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. I want you to pick up something here. Pick up the word, it says utter speech. It uses the word knowledge. It uses the word words down in verse 4. You know what? It's saying that the message is loud and clear that there's a creator that made it all. Amen. Heavenly sounds. This, some of you have been seeing in the news, and it's been in the news a few years back and coming back again right now. This thing of mystery sounds. Anybody picking up on that? They've even been on some of the news. Some of it's been here in Florida, different countries in Europe, different states out in Mississippi or somewhere here in America. Mystery sounds. I believe it was in Florida that it sounded like a hurricane, like the wind blowing around the house. Just a lie. I heard it recorded on the news. And the man went out in the yard, but none of the trees are blowing. The sky is clear. You don't feel any breeze, but the sound of the wind. Mystery sounds. They're talking about the sounds of trumpets they're hearing. A lot of trumpets being blown here and there, and some of them with a baritone and some of them with another kind of sound and all of that business. Listen, don't be shocked at that. The Bible is full of heavenly sounds. You read about the voice of God. You read about some thought it thundered. You read over there where the giving of the Ten Commandments was, and the trumpet kept sounding louder and louder and louder. Yes, once in a while, I don't know about this dimension business, but it seems like God lets heaven break through with some sounds. And some of the sounds sound like fighting, like battles. Metal clanking, swords as it were hitting, and sometimes even voices, and all of that is current stuff. I know it's been fake some on YouTube or something, but there's a lot of real stuff that's a mystery they can't explain right now. And don't be shocked, it's happened before, not only in the Bible. A lot of times before tremendous events take place, heavenly phenomena has been heard, and in some cases seen. If you want to read a good history book, and it'll take you a while, but if you want to read to the volumes of Flavius Josephus, the Jew that was alive and wrote history at the time of the fall of the temple in AD 70 under the Romans, you read about what he wrote. And by the way, he's a very respected historian, even in the big schools of our day. And he writes about the heavenly signs and sounds that took place just before the Romans were able to come in and destroy the temple. Such things as hearing voices, seeing, as it were, in the late close of the day, soldiers up in the clouds, having the big temple door that it took 20 men to move and to shut, opening and shutting by itself. Such things, that was a phenomena, and God was saying something big is going to come. And by the way, the believing Jews, we're talking about AD 70, already had been about 30 years of gospel going on, 40 years of gospel. The believing Jews did just what they were told to do in the tribulation period, and that was flee Jerusalem. Interesting that some folks did heed those sounds that took place back then in AD 70. But creation design on creation. You can look at the DNA and the other stuff, and it's greater design, greater intellect it took to do that than anything that man can make today. I mentioned this Dawkins, this atheist that was speaking in a group. He spoke to a group, and then he had Q&A questions. And somebody in the group said, Mr. Dawkins, how do you explain the intricate design in the universe? And from the telescope down to the microscope, how do you explain the intelligent design? He said, well, it was just luck. Now, that's a brilliant deduction for a fellow that thinks he's a scientist. Just luck. Oh, my. Could nail his tongue to a post and walk off and be better. Ridiculous, of course. So many things. I'm talking about, sure, we know there's a God. We know he lives in our heart. But the evidence is out there. The firmament showing forth his handiwork. I've mentioned this before years ago. I remember a little bit about it. If you look in the Chinese language, still today, now it's changed a lot. It's modernized a lot. But especially go back to the old Chinese language. See, most languages, like English, is based on an alphabet. Hebrew and Greek and so forth, alphabet. But the Chinese language was based on pictures. If you go back to what they try to tell us the caveman drew on the walls and so on, but the Chinese language has little characters, little pictures. And still today, that's depicted. If you go into the Chinese language, and especially go back before they've changed it so much of late, if you'll go back, you'll discover that the pictures in the Chinese language live from about Genesis 1:1 to Genesis chapter 11. And they take the pictures that are in those stories, in the truth of the Bible, and they base the whole language upon it. Let me drop a few words you recognize. Think about, I'm talking about word pictures. I'm talking about in that language is pictured a garden. How about Genesis? Garden of Eden? Let me move on quicker than that. How about man being made from the dust of the earth? That's in the picture of the language. How about the warning of God concerning touching a tree? How about a serpent? Would you recognize that out of Genesis? Would you recognize the devil? Would you recognize death coming by being represented by a mouth? How about the forbidden fruit? I'm talking about the language picture and all that. I'm talking about the curse coming in thorns and weeds. I'm talking about the woman's seed. When you get on the positive side, the woman's seed, that's the Messiah, the Savior, and the salvation and righteousness coming by blood and a sheep, a lamb, all pictured in the Chinese language. Oh, you say that was an accident. Oh, no, 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 no. How about the violence of one brother killing another? Cain and Abel. How about the flood and a boat with eight souls being saved? All pictured in the Chinese language. I'm talking to you. How about clay bricks and building a tower? Tower of Babel. I mean, how about the confusion of tongues, showing the tongues all mixed up? I mean, think about it. Think about it. God was leaving his witness impressed. See, from the Tower of Babel, when the Chinese, we just simplify it, say when the Chinese split off, they split off with the pictures in mind. They split off with the message in mind. They knew the truth. And by the way, they still have a seven-day week like we do, the creation week. Amazing, amazing. No, God's in charge of all of that. And then you get somebody trying to get up and preach to a crowd and saying there is no God. Let him get sick with cancer and the doctor shake his head, tell him he's got another week to live. Now tell me what you believe about God. I'll be more likely to listen to you then. I want to say we can know. Well, they're ever learning, never coming to the truth, but we know the truth. We know there's a God. We know he's given us his word. Amen. Supernatural book, nothing compared to the Bible. No comparison. So much phenomena. Jesus himself said that not one jot or tittle would pass away. And by the way, I believe that God, to be true to his promises, had to give us a Bible we could hold in our hand, preserved, as well as inspired. And I believe I have that here in the King James Bible today. You know, so many phenomena. You can find it. I mentioned the alphabet. Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. I think ABCs of ours, English alphabet, we got 26, but 22 letters. And you find, and people study this, the Jews study it. You study it all the way through the book, the phenomena of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I mentioned it the other day, I believe, in Lamentations. But you can go back to Exodus and find out where the Hebrew language is used of God to throw the light on God's word. And you find the 22 letters represented over there where they met with God around the altar, representing the 22 bowls of oil that shed the light. So, well, they just accidentally had 22. No, when you get to the New Testament, you have 22 letters, again, we call them epistles, that shed the light on God's word. Just a little thing. Yeah, it just gets growing and growing, and it's too much to call it an accident. It's a supernatural book that God has given us, his word. Amen. You know, we have the Bible. It's God's word, not only because of the phenomena of something like that, but the prophecy. I've been teaching on it in Sunday school. Prophecy being fulfilled in front of our eyes. What you're seeing in the news today, the Pope saying we got to have a Palestinian state, take the land away from Israel, cozying up with Mr. Putin over in Russia. Do you know all that's predicted? That's all bringing it all together just exactly like, and we've been teaching that stuff for I don't know how long, but it is so obvious, along with the obvious stuff. Yeah, there's weather phenomena, and there's always been, but maybe God is doing something with the weather today. Stephen gave me a picture the other day, my wife, I don't know how to turn the pictures on, but she got one from him, and it showed hailstones falling in his backyard about the size of tennis balls. That is a little unusual. I know it happens every now and then, but all kind of phenomena is seemingly going on. But then you hear about the earthquakes. I think Alabama's still shaking, isn't it? What, they have 14 in the last month or something like that? Amazing. But the Bible said all that stuff would come. You say, well, what does it mean to me? It means if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. You see, ever learning and never coming to the truth. I'm glad I can come to the truth that I know how to be saved. I know I am saved through Christ. I mean, heaven's as much my home as if I'd already been there 10 years. That's the assurance I can have in Jesus Christ. And brother, that's a knowledge that they're not going to come to in a textbook in a college. But the truth of the matter is, God tells us we can be saved and know it. The best news I ever heard when I walked into a church service and heard the gospel was I could be saved and know it now and not wait till I stood before God to find out which way I was going. It's a no-so salvation. When you trust in Christ, you have the right to know. Amen? You know, it's not by man's wisdom. If you were to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, familiar verses, pick it up, women, about verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1, and it says over here, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You come to Landmark Baptist and say, I heard the Pastor Carter's foolishness again. All that news for you, that's the way to get saved. God said you'd call it foolishness. But when the gospel is preached, it's the power of God unto salvation, the Bible says. Yes, I know there's a God. I know I have His Word, and I know I can know that I'm saved. Amen? I have the knowledge of redemption. Bought back. When the Chinese had it right, when they pictured blood and a lamb. Lamb that shed His blood. That's pictured all the way through the Old Testament in all the sacrifices of Israel, but it was fulfilled on the cross of Calvary when Jesus, God's Lamb, hung on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. Oh, yes, you can have assurance that your sin's been paid for when you let Christ be your Savior. When you come and when you receive Him, He's the one that redeems you, buys you back from the curse of sin. And our sins are paid for in Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that our iniquity is laid on Him. It says over there that we're healed by His stripes. He took our place. The truth of the matter is that I know I'm saved because God is not going to exact the price twice. He exacted it once on His Son on the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to stand before God and He say, Mickey, you got to pay for your sins now. Oh no, my substitute paid for them. The one that sacrificed Himself for me and the one that shed His blood for me, He paid for it, so I go free. I get eternal life as a free gift. I tell you what, they didn't learn from books that high, all the computer age, but until they learned to come to the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to have their sins paid for, they're still in darkness, and they're still lost. What a wonderful truth. When you receive Christ, you're covered by His blood. And oh, this story is told over and over, different ones. It's happened on the battlefield many times when the enemy come in, when they shot people up, and one lived because they were covered, as it were, by their buddy's blood. And it looked like they were dead too, because they were just as bloody as the dead man side of them. I know a preacher, he's retired now, a little bit older than me even, but he surrendered to preach, laying across the body of his bloody buddy in the Korean War. And God saw fit to spare him, and he told God there on the battlefield, I'll preach when I get home. Many, many times people tell that story, tell about being passed over because the blood of somebody else was on them. I want to tell you something. You can get passed over if you've got the blood of Jesus Christ on you. He died in your place. He shed His blood for you. He covers your sin. That is the gospel. That is the wonderful truth. Portrayed all the way back through history and all the way back through the Word of God. When you receive Christ, His blood cleanses from all sin. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Oh, you'll have a lot of evidences when you get saved. You really get saved. You'll have some evidences. You'll have some changes. Your taste will change about things. You'll start liking things you used to hate. By the way, it'll give you a repulsive taste too. There'll be things that repulse you that you used to enjoy. You'll have some of those evidence. They'll be very real in your life, and you got a right to look for those things, I think. I really do. The truth is, you'll have new desires. And you'll not want to do some things you used to do. I worry about folks that say, well, I accepted Christ, and there's no change in their life. They don't turn from the dirty stuff. They don't turn from the wrong stuff. No, there's somebody that moves inside of you when you get saved that says, don't do that, do this. I'm not happy with that, I'm happy with this. Do you know what I'm talking about? You've been born again by the Spirit of God? You know the policeman that lives inside of you that tells you what's right and wrong? That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's very real, folks, very real. The best thing is when you get saved, you get a new peace you didn't have before. Wonderful peace, new joy that you didn't have before, new witness of your conscience, of your heart. The Bible says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's a real thing, a very, very real thing. No doubt about it. You know what? I've got peace now that no matter what the world does, they can't steal the knowledge that I'm saved. They can't steal my information. I mean, China may come in and they claim they've got all the info now on all the government employees and everything like that, and military and all. I got news for you. They can't steal my information. It's in heaven. Amen. It's sealed. That's what the Bible tells me. It's sealed. They can't get my name. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's sealed. It's a terrible thing to have your identity stolen and somebody gets your bank account and all that. That would be awful, but I thank God the most precious thing I have, my eternal life, recorded in the Book of Heaven, sealed forever. Amen. That's what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't help but be happy over that. No hacker is going to get into God's computer. Amen. I asked you this morning, is your name sealed? Is it in the book? Is it? You can't trust this world down here. I hope you know that. But you can sure trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll write your name in heaven. You'll have some private information up there that'll stand the test of time. It'll stand the test of getting into heaven, and that's the thing that counts. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Are you covered by His blood? Oh, if you have, that information is recorded above. Job said, my record is on high. God's got it stored up there. It's sealed. When the Antichrist puts his number on this world down here, he's doing nothing more than faking and counterfeiting what God's already done. God's already sealed his servants. And the Antichrist and the devil himself cannot get you away if God's already sealed you. That's what you get when you come to Christ. If you've not come to Him, let Him be your Savior. I challenge you to do it this morning. You're in a world that's ever learning and never coming to the truth. Why don't you just shortcut it this morning and come to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let Him be your Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly at our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the truth I've talked about this morning. Father, the truth that what we have in Christ can never be stolen away. Nobody can get inside and get on the blood and steal my salvation away. I thank you for that. I pray for that one in Radio Land or here in the building today that does not know Christ as Savior. I pray for their very soul. Lord, I know that you know the hairs on our head are numbered. You know all about us. You know our DNA. It separates every one of us. And dear God, you're not going to lose a track. You're not going to lose track of one of your children. I thank you for that. I pray here today that somebody would switch sides, that they would leave what they're trusting, leave what they've been deceived by, and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ even today as Savior. We commit it to you, ask your Spirit withdraw, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll say, preacher, I'm going to receive.